FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, she, her pronouns, a youth educator and advocate at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often, young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us. And a big place we see these examples is in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. For information on awareness events and how to get involved, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. If you would like to reach out to us for support or more information, please call Next Steps 24/7 and free helpline at 1-800-315-5579. We have a very special episode today. Our guest is Maddie, they/them pronouns, prevention coordinator at Maine Family Planning. You can find more information about Maine Family Planning and their services at mainefamilyplanning.org. I'd like to now introduce Maddie for our conversation about family planning in the media. I appreciate you being here. Do you mind introducing yourself a little bit and letting everybody know what you do at Maine Family Planning, like what your role is there?
Yeah. So my name's Maddie. My pronouns are they, them, theirs, and I'm a prevention coordinator at Maine Family Planning. So my role is mostly supporting school staff, a lot of health educators, and teaching puberty and sexual health. Mostly we do professional development. So I'm the co-author of three curricula. We have a Puberty Happens, which is taught in fourth through sixth grade, a middle school scope and sequence for sexual health. And our high school curriculum is called Best Practices in STI, HIV, and Pregnancy Prevention. If folks are interested, they can download all those materials for free on our website. But, lots of folks don't necessarily have a lot of prior knowledge or maybe confidence in teaching sexual health material. I would say, especially at the elementary level for puberty, they don't always have a dedicated health teacher. So our trainings are really, not only getting them familiar with the activities to deliver them to their students, but also building confidence and, connecting them with other folks who are doing the work so they can kind of share knowledge and resources.
Yeah, that's so amazing. That's such a huge, important thing that you're doing. It's a big piece of work. So thank you for being there for our students in our schools because that's such a big deal. And it is something that I think people are a little bit intimidated to take on. So I think it's wonderful that you guys do all that. What other kinds of services does Maine Family Planning offer to our communities?
Yeah, so while I'm on the education team, our biggest department is our clinical services team. So we have 18 brick and mortar clinics throughout the state, everywhere but Cumberland and York County, where Planned Parenthood is. And we also provide telehealth services. So if transportation is ever a barrier for folks, they can access our services via telehealth. I do like to share, my own personal experience. I've accessed our services via telehealth, and it's great, I think, especially if you're someone that maybe like you're get yeast infections in the summer because you're wearing your wet bathing suit or whatever it is, and you just need some support immediately. There's like a virtual waiting room, and you can, pick up at your local pharmacy any medications that might be prescribed. So it does make it pretty seamless for, whether it's something simple like that, or if you're trying to get more information about birth control, some things they can mail, or like pills you could pick up at your pharmacy or they get in the mail. I'm not quite sure. But then if it's a procedure, so if you're getting something like an IUD, you would have to come in for that. But we can do a lot over telehealth, which is pretty exciting. And so for sexual and reproductive health care, obviously people often think about birth control. So we offer, a whole variety of birth control methods, and there's a lot out there that people may not be aware of. So just know, if you want to get that information, you're welcome to research online. Bedsider.org is one of my favorite websites for people looking for information. about methods, and you can filter it if you're looking for like non-hormonal methods, or you're looking for methods that also protect against STIs. So you can kind of explore. But our clinical staff also are super knowledgeable and are happy to talk through people's options. And they're not there to encourage people to use any particular method. They're really trying to help people figure out what is, what they're interested in, and getting them those resources. So we provide birth control. We also do STI testing and treatment. We provide pregnancy testing and options counseling. So options counseling is basically if you are pregnant, they talk through, what are your options in terms of if you're looking to continue the pregnancy and parent, getting you connected to maybe prenatal care and potentially services like WIC, which is women, infants, and children. So like nutritional support if you need help with like formula or things like that. And then if folks are not interested in continuing their pregnancies, we also offer abortion care, and we can get folks connected to those resources. And then if someone's looking to continue their pregnancy but do adoption, they'll also get you connected to those resources as well. So that's something we offer as well. And then other services, we do offer primary care at a few of our clinics. So I know Ellsworth is one of them. I know you're in that area at Next Step, which is really great for a lot of folks. Our providers are incredible. So if folks are looking for that care, they can get those at certain clinics. We also do help some folks who are trying to get pregnant. A few of our offices provide IUI, which is intrauterine insemination. So if folks need extra support around that, we also provide gender-affirming hormone therapy. And then we also, at a few of our sites, offer vasectomies. And they're expanding the training for our staff so that we can offer it at more sites as well. And then we also provide HIV prevention, so pre-exposure prophylaxis and things like that.
So many things
So many things.
all
I
at
know people
once.
all have kind of a narrow conception sometimes of sexual and reproductive health care, and it's a lot of information. So yeah, you don't have to know it all. Just like reach out to us. We have a chat box on our website as well. It's mainfamilyplanning.org. So there's like a live person on the other end. It's not like AI or anything. And if you have questions, whoever's on call is just for business hours, will, respond to any questions you have. Because I know some people, are hesitant to talk on the phone, but you can also call us on the phone and we'll answer questions if that's your comfort as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those people who don't appreciate having to use the phone if I don't have to. So that chat feature is amazing. And I know that is what a lot of younger folks are more comfortable doing as well. But I definitely had no idea the vastness of Maine Family Planning's resources and their services. So that's amazing to learn. And I think I'm definitely not in the minority in not really knowing fully what y'all do over there and what you can offer. And having that support, especially when you're in a vulnerable state or you're maybe confused or you just don't have that knowledge, having somebody who can kind of walk you through it and kind of explain the processes involved, that's so important. So thank you for doing what you do. It's a huge deal. I know when I got pregnant at 22, I was clueless, and Maine Family Planning was integral in making me feel super comfortable and letting me know all of my options and getting me connected to prenatal care. So, huge thank you to you and what you guys do over there.
That's great
Seriously.
to hear. Yeah.
All right. So our show typically focuses on the things that we see in the media that can impact us in our real lives when we're young, especially and kind of having those relationships and experiences for the first time. Can you tell me a little bit about what your personal experience was like kind of growing up and seeing relationships play out in the media?
Yeah, I would definitely say one of the messages I picked up as a young person was first that like there's a big focus, I think, on sexual romantic relationships in teen media. So oftentimes the stereotype was if you're popular, then you're in a relationship and potentially sexually active. Obviously, there's like lines of acceptability, I think, for whether you're a young man or a young woman in terms of how active you are, but generally you were dating someone if you were popular. And then the unpopular people weren't necessarily, but they wanted to be. And then oftentimes there could be storylines around like how do the unpopular people like get someone to date them to like become popular or things like that. So that our message is partly like everyone should want to date, and like two, like part of your like self-worth or being successful as a person is like being in a relationship. So I think there's always a big pressure for that experience. I was a like a nerd growing up and I did not date at all. But then when I got to college, I felt this extreme pressure of like, I'm behind and I need to catch up. So my early relationship experiences weren't always the best, and I wasn't necessarily, I think, totally ready for them. I don't regret anything, but at the same time, I do feel like part of it was this pressure of like, oh, I should be in relationships. Any relationship that presents itself, if someone asks you like you want to like go out or whatever, you should just, jump at the opportunity because, you're supposed to be in a relationship. So, but now that, I feel like as you get older, you're like, oh, I can be more selective. I can also be single. There's nothing wrong with that. And of course, as I was preparing for this podcast, like I'm a nerd, right? So I was like trying to find data around these things too. And there's an interesting new study from UCLA, and it's Teens and Screens, I think it's called. And so they were surveying Gen Z, and there's been articles recently too. I remember seeing headlines this year about this study, that the majority of adolescents right now express a desire for more content centered around friendships and platonic relationships, and that they also want to see more characters who are like asexual or aromantic. So there's this pushback against like, we don't need to have all these storylines that are so focused on romantic or sexual relationships. Like, we want to highlight the importance and value of other types of relationships as well. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's a huge deal. I know when I was growing up, it was the same. All of the movies where, the cool, popular kids are dating and the nerdy kids are kind of left behind or picked on or having to change themselves to be liked by the more popular people. I know I grew up with like She's All That and 10 Things I Hate About You. And those are the movies that always come to mind when I think about how I grew up and the kinds of relationships that I saw in the media. And it's really refreshing that there is that kind of pushback from people who are growing up with media now, and they're kind of not into that. There's less interest in that being the focus of their lives, and that's such an important thing. And I'm the same way. I feel like I look back and I wish that I had just been like knowing that it was okay to just be single and not worry about, being in a relationship or whether or not somebody was romantically interested in me. So I could have focused on things that I actually wanted to do or things that I was interested in. So I think it's really cool that nowadays people are kind of being able to explore who they are as people rather than wanting to fit in as much or wanting to be liked by somebody romantically. I think that's a big deal. And just like we aren't born understanding how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, we also don't just have a complete understanding of reproductive and sexual health either. That's something that we learn. It's something that we see modeled for us. And if we don't have those conversations, we are kind of left clueless. And I know, like I said, I definitely was. How do you see the conversation around family planning topics and care fit into the media that we consume or not fit into it?
I feel personally like I've seen a lack of conversations around it in media. Oftentimes, like we were talking about in teen media, well, there's a focus on relationships and maybe like a focus on like a first kiss or maybe how those first relationships are beginning to unfold. But we don't always see like the important conversations that maybe need to not necessarily need to happen, but like can be helpful to happen around a romantic and sexual relationship. And part of that is related to sexual and reproductive health. So we don't necessarily see those conversations modeled, like how do you talk to your partner around like, what birth control method do we want to use? How do we want to protect against STIs? Like those types of things, but just also other relationship things, like is this a casual relationship or are we wanting to be like seriously dating each other? Do we want to be exclusive? Do we want to date other people? A lot of people want to engage in sexual activity to feel good, to get some sexual satisfaction or pleasure. But, you don't won't necessarily know what you like if you're new to something, right? And so how do you have conversations to be honest about that communication and maybe try things out that you want to try, and give honest feedback without necessarily, and then people are worried about like hurting each other's egos if it, they're like, oh, actually, that didn't really work for me. And so there's a lot of communication involved at every stage of a relationship, and before, during, and after sexual activity, right? This is it's ongoing, and obviously these conversations also evolve. And when someone becomes, I think, older, they may be having more conversations around like, do we believe in marriage? Do we want to get married? When do we want to get married? Do we want to have kids? How many kids? If we don't want to have kids, all these kinds of things can come up, and we don't necessarily, again, always see how those conversations are modeled. And I think also these subjects are incredibly personal. And because we don't often talk about them in our culture, it can have some shame and it can feel very vulnerable. And so with that, sometimes it can lead to conflict in a relationship, A, because someone might withhold how they actually feel because they're, they don't know how to talk about it, or, if something does come up, then people can have big emotions around them, right? And so I think we need to see more of what those conversations look like. And, there's some out there for educational purposes. Generally speaking, I think I would love to just see it talked about more in our culture, more openly, and more honestly as well. Because I think also when we do hear about it, sometimes it's mostly maybe from the news media around things like access to abortion care. And not everything you hear is accurate. There's a lot of misinformation and, again, a lot of stigma and a lot of shame.
If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and today we're talking with Maddie from Maine Family Planning.
I want to talk about Love is Blind a little bit as an example of how it's come up in the media. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually had a chance to watch a couple episodes of the show. I tracked down the season that you were talking about earlier, and I usually, when I watch reality TV shows, it's very drama centric, and the show is too. But I was actually really impressed with how wholesome this show can be, just because the focus is on conversation so much. So I was pleasantly surprised with watching this. But yeah, absolutely. We can get into Love is Blind.
Yeah, I've been watching semi-regularly. It's on Netflix if folks are interested. It's a reality TV show. Generally, the premise of the show is, I guess, people apply to be on it who are interested in getting married, although you learn later on that not everyone actually is ready for marriage, even though the expectation is you could get married by the end of the show. So I think that can bring up conflict sometimes, as some people, I think, go in without honest intentions, and maybe for more like just to date or for media visibility. But some people are, they're on the show with genuine intentions. I'm not sure exactly how many people start out, so I'm just gonna throw out like maybe there's like 20, and it's heterosexual, so like 20 men and 20 women. And they're both on kind of like separate sides, like we'll call them dorms, right? And then each side of the building or whatever has these pods with a wall in between them. And they're basically speed dating in the beginning, like, what's your name? And they like ask questions to learn about each other, but they never see each other. And then after those initial kind of dates, then they can like make dates with the people, like schedule dates with the people they like, again, continuing to like not see each other. And that goes on and on. And then if they want to see each other, they have to propose and get engaged. So it is kind of, again, this like forced situation, like speeding up a relationship, which I think in itself is not necessarily healthy. But TV, it makes it for good drama. So I wouldn't necessarily encourage people to, get engaged after 2 weeks, like what happens on this show. But that's what happens. And some of the storylines that came up in this latest season, I want to talk about that sexual and reproductive health came up in. My favorite couple on this latest season was Johnny and Amy, and they're very sweet.
So cute,
If
so cute.
this is going to be a spoiler for folk, but they do get married at the end, and they also have the sweetest wedding. Like, I love they had like pictures of their grandparents who had passed, I want to say, and their families were so supportive, and just like their siblings were so like excited, just like everything about it. I was like, this is like actually like very, like you said, like so wholesome.
So awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so sweet because the other thing is when they first meet each other, right after the proposal, Amy's kind of like, oh, like I wouldn't have picked him in real life. And that is the kind of cool thing about the show too. Like the question is love blind, right? And like when we're not picking someone just based on their like physical looks, you know, and obviously for them it was because he's like a redhead, like white guy and she's Puerto Rican. And she's like, oh, usually I go for more of like, you know, maybe like tall, darker, handsome. I don't remember what she says, but they're very sweet together. And they have like a great relationship throughout the show, very minimal conflict, but one of the conflicts they do have, and I would say generally, I feel like they handle it really well in terms of like they're not yelling at each other or things like that, but they're really trying to figure out how to navigate their reproductive choices, right? So Johnny is like deathly afraid of having an unintended pregnancy because again, he wants to be responsible and he really wants to be financially secure before having children. He grew up, I think, with siblings and his parents, maybe, you know, money was tight and it was really stressful, right? So again, we see people wanting to make these choices because they don't, we know that parents get stressed when they're strapped for cash and then those kids experience that stress as well, right? It's hard not to. And so he's definitely afraid of having an unintended pregnancy and everyone he's dated, and he just kind of assumed like every woman is on birth control, right? That was just kind of his assumption, right? And then when he learns that Amy's not, like, he's really surprised. And she is not really interested in birth control. She says she doesn't want to, like, mess up her body's, like, regular systems. And they both say that they lack a lot of education, which I think is, again, a really realistic portrayal of our current situation in the United States, which is some people are getting no sex education depending on the state you live in. And then even like a place like Maine where we do provide sexual health and wellness education, it's still pretty minimal, right? So you might get a day or several days of that puberty education in elementary school. Maybe you'll get like a week or something in middle school. Maybe, again, it's really different depending on the middle school you're in. And then ideally you're getting it in health class in high school. But if health class is only a semester and you're also covering mental health and substance use and all this other stuff, maybe it's 2 weeks in high school, right? And like I said, there's a lot to these conversations around sexual and reproductive health, everything from like consent and healthy relationships to, again, like what are birth control methods? You know, how do I prevent STIs, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of information. And just like other subjects, we know that people learn better with repetition, right? So if you just learned something once, you may not retain it versus, you know, if you're doing it every year. And then when you're doing it regularly, not only are you retaining it better, but you're able to build upon that knowledge better. And so you're able to get more of that nuance. And though they really don't know what their options are for birth control, she's really, it sounds like, not interested in a hormonal method, but maybe is not aware that there are non-hormonal forms of birth control, right? But one thing that also came up in the show is they were kind of like, they talking about vasectomy because she also felt like men need to take more of a responsibility in these reproductive choices. And so he looked into it and he decided, you know, it wasn't for him. I think sometimes people think it's reversible, and while it can be reversed, there's really no guarantee that you will be able to conceive after you do it. So it's really, I think, considered to be like a permanent procedure when you definitely know you don't want to have any kids. So they decide that's not the option for them. So by the end of their show, they don't really say they've figured it out. Like, I think they're gonna probably go to a doctor or like talk about their options. I just thought it was a really real example, because again, they're real people, of the state of sex education in our country and how that can impact relationships. And I think, you know, Johnny brought up a lot of important things around, you know, wanting to wait. And that I think is really important, because I think there's also a lot of research that shows that having children, especially those early years of maybe like infancy to age 3, when there's a lot of needs for a child, it can put a lot of stress on a relationship.
Again, it's that communication piece, and the education part is so crucial in being able to make those decisions and being able to make those informed decisions, right? So that we're not making decisions based on an impulse or out of like wanting to bend your will to somebody else or just going along with things. It's really important to have that communication, and it's not often depicted in the media that we watch, especially popular media, because it's not sexy to have those conversations. But that is a side conversation that is important to have so that everybody feels safe and comfortable with the decisions being made. It's life changing. It literally changes your life. So it is really impactful, especially on young people who don't have that knowledge. Having resources out there like Maine Family Planning, having a place where they can go to learn those things and ask those questions without fear of judgment, it's so crucial.
And we could talk forever around like how media is not sex education either. Like, I think when we lack those conversations in school or with our family, sometimes we like turn to TV or movies or even like online pornography to like get information. But all these sources, they're not accurate representations of relationships or sex. And so I encourage people to, again, go to more like trusted and accurate resources for information if they are curious. And Maine Family Planning can be one of those resources for folks.
I'd like to thank Maddie for being our guest speaker this month and having this conversation about family planning. You have been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. We are also now on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine who is interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at cclark@nextstepdvproject.org. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. For resources and services around family planning, you can visit mainefamilyplanning.org.